בטחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב הנה מה טוב לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
Well, shalom, y'all. It's an honor to be back. Looking forward to sharing. First of all, I found this. I've been doing a lot of things since I've been gone. I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of the things I've been doing. This message is going to be different than my usual messages in that I plan to give today, guys, a little bit more of a personal reflection. It's going to be different. You're going to hear me talk more about me than usual, and actually much more than I'm comfortable with, to be just really honest with you. I don't particularly like the topic, but in any case, I mean, you know, it's not like I'm a self-hating rabbi. That's not what I mean, okay? But also, the message is going to be a bit more serious than usual for me, which, quite frankly, I'm a little disappointed about. I was kind of hoping, I thought, wow, you know, people are going to be hopefully upbeat and excited and happy. And I'm like, wow, Lord, yes. Okay, let's have a good, fun, hilarious, great message. And I was like, wah, 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 wah. Okay, well, maybe not. Okay, but that's okay. But trust me, I plan on laughing and telling corny jokes again soon. Okay, so it's coming. Don't worry. If you've been waiting for it and you need your fill for it. But I would ask you to work for me on this message. Allow me to share a little bit from my heart, about a few things and give you a little bit of background on some stuff that's been going on. But first, I want to stop for a moment and thank all the incredible guest speakers that we've had. We have had some amazing speakers. Wow. Whew. Whew, man, I am telling you what, especially I want to thank everybody that spoke. Obviously, good last week, and we've had, especially those who took multiple Shabbats who spoke. It was a real sacrifice. People like Shalom, people like Dr. Bruce Tucker, my good friend who, gosh, you know, he has a congregation that he was running. He was up here a lot speaking with that great, you know, Maine accent that he has, you know, and It's hard to understand him sometimes, but that's okay. Wow, what a great teacher, you know, and just tremendous. I'm so grateful to him and to Beth Judah, who we've reached out to bless them also from Beth Hillel. And also my friend, my pastor, Maddie over there, who's actually here today. Thank you, Pastor Matt. I didn't know. Hey. I didn't know he was going to be here today. Very, very kind. Wow, what an amazing speaker and teacher he is. Oh my gosh, just unbelievable. Woo! Wow. He and all of them were truly amazing. I watched every service online and I was just like, get the popcorn. This is good stuff, y'all. Okay, I didn't have popcorn. You understand my point. And I want to let you know a little bit about, okay, well, so if you're a first time visitor here, this is not the way a normal service is going to go. Okay. With what I'm going to share, it's definitely different. It's like, what's he even talking about? I'll give you a little bit of background on it. But you may have been wondering, you know, what exactly has been happening? What's he been doing? What was the purpose of this? In case you're a little bit unaware, but so I'll share with you just a little bit of context and just some thinking that I've been doing. Just want to share with you things that I think the Lord has been kind of giving me and such. But first, I want to share my time away from speaking was a bereavement leave. For those of you who don't know, my dad of blessed memory and the founding rabbi here passed away a few months ago. So it was a bereavement leave. I'll say this. Some of you wonder it was not a sabbatical. It's interesting. Our board is very supportive of your rabbi. They support me 110%. And they approved a sabbatical for me every 7 years of being a rabbi. It's something that's sometimes done in ministry circles because of the weights of doing this. Every 7 years, and I'm now nearing the third sabbatical that I'm due, but I haven't taken one yet. A sabbatical, if you will, is true rest. I look forward to a sabbatical someday, which I'm hopefully going to get to, but this that I've experienced the last few months was not that, but it wasn't designed to be that. It wasn't designed to be a sabbatical. I'll talk more about that in a minute, but sadly, I'll say our family didn't quite get away at all or do a vacation like I'd hoped to. I hope we get a chance to do that at some point. We've been still nonetheless very, very busy during this bereavement leave. However, kind of just to give you a little bit of an idea, instead of kind of working my typical, 70-ish hours a week, I worked around 30 hours a week. And so y'all, it was definitely a blessing in that regard. I'll talk about that, but I still came in every week and worked with our facilities director around the building. He could tell you about that, of course, and perform multiple weddings and rededications, provided untold hours of emergency counseling, sent thousands of emails, handled a lot of administration for Beth Hillel. But friends, it was still very helpful. And the reason is because I was not writing and delivering a message every week, which honestly takes me a lot of time. It takes me a lot of time to write these messages. Interesting, many years ago when I first started doing it, I thought, man, this takes forever for me to write a message. But I thought, wow, once, I get a few years into this, man, I'll just be able to crank them, and it just didn't turn out that way, George. I don't understand. It's like, it hasn't gotten quicker. This is just how it is. But so truly, if you will, I got to tell you, and one of the reasons why it's particularly important, and so the bereavement leave was in many ways focused a lot on this that I'm doing right now. And truly, it's hard in this role to give out a lot if you need to receive. Right? That makes sense, doesn't it? Rabbi Robert of blessed memory, my dad, often talked about the need to receive. It's interesting. I remember sometimes he'd go to conferences and he'd be praying for people. And he taught me this. And it was really interesting. And he'd lay his hands and start praying for people. And they would just be talking. They'd be praying. Sometimes they'd be praying a specific prayer. Sometimes they'd be praying in the spirit. They'd just be praying. And he would tell them, be quiet. Receive. And it was something because sometimes I would see people like a little stunned, like, what? Oh, but he noted that people oftentimes have a problem receiving, and especially in this role, guys, especially speaking so much out of the heart, and speaking the manna of God out, it's definitely advantageous to be able to speak when you're not in a desperate need to receive in that moment. Does that make sense? And certainly, with the passing, I'm going to talk about why it would make sense that certainly I needed to receive in that way. So it was a blessing for sure. I spent time in prayer. I spent time learning. I spent time with the family. I was able to process and reflect a lot. Just a lot of time of reflection too, along with all this. And I'll give you just an example to stay gassed up. One of the lessons I learned from a pastor friend of mine is that I'm going to be designating 1 month in the spring or summer each year when I'm not preaching. I got to stay gassed up too. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I'm I'm on this journey of life, just like all of you are. We're all together in this. I'm a, like I said earlier, I'm a member here too. We are Mishpacha, we are family, but just because I'm propped up a few feet higher on the stage and speaking every week doesn't mean I'm any better than you, or that God looks down and says, oh, he's the one. No. We're all equal in this. We all go through things. We all have our journey and our battles that we fight in, y'all. This is what is the human experience and why we all need to turn to Yeshua, like the song said, because he never let us down. Amen. All that having been said, I got to tell you, I am immeasurably proud of our congregation these last few months. I have to tell you guys, I just, in the Lord, I am so impressed with you and so thankful for you. It's overwhelming to me when I think about it, if I can just be honest about it. You guys have remained faithful. Other than, so this is a statistic that I looked and I'm like, wow, when I actually put it together, I was like, that's just unbelievable. Other than people moving away or people dying, which they can't help. Other than people moving or dying, the number of Beth Hillel members that have moved on to Beth Hillel this year can be counted on one hand. And you don't need all the fingers. That's unbelievable to me. I'm telling you, that blows my mind. Unreal. You know, sometimes they say when the cat's away, the mice will play. But you all have been faithful. And services have been amazing. I've been faithfully watching online. Man, I'm a regular YouTube watcher. God bless you, all you YouTubers. I had somebody email me and said this week, said, I think it was, they're from Missouri, and they said, I've been watching since COVID. It's the first time they had contacted me. I love that. Thank you, those of you who are watching online. We have people who have been, you all have been so faithful. This congregation is unbelievable. Our Chavara leaders, man, they were so generous in looking after the flock. Our team, our staff, Dara and Mark, Sue, Jesus, our office staff, all everybody on our staff were amazing in taking up slack in my absence. Our music teams, man, our greeters, our teachers, our ministry leads. Our Shamashim, our Zekanim, were on it. You guys were on it. Golly, I'm so overwhelmed. To see Beth Hillel thrive in my absence was such a big encouragement for me. It makes me so very happy. And it should you too, about your congregation, about how everybody just kind of circled the wagons. And golly, I'm impressed. To me, it was a beautiful thing. Quite honestly, it relieved some pressure off of me just to see how you guys all came together and were just faithful. Because friends, I'm going to tell you something. Beth Hillel is not about me. This is not my congregation. This is his congregation. I want to thank each of you. I want to thank each of you for your attendance. Listen, you knew Rabbi wasn't going to be there to eagle eye you. Oh, are they here? Are they here? Hold on. I haven't seen them in a while. I can't tell. I tried to look on the camera as much as I could, but I couldn't see most people. Thank you for your attendance, your faithfulness in your attendance. You watch it online faithfully. God bless you. I'm touched. Golly, that speaks to your character. Thank you for your financial support in this season, for that matter. Our finances look like I was here. It looked like nothing was anything different. The Lord, all you people are faithful. in your finances, your tithing, your giving. I never really have to talk about that. You guys are faithful, putting God first above manna, above your moolah, above, you know, the wallet, if you will. You guys are faithful. I'm so impressed for your love and encouragement to me and my family. And my family, my siblings too, your love and encouragement to all of us, my children. Friends, we have something special here at Beth Hillel. Very, very special. And guess what? There's a reason for that. There's a reason we have something special. Luke chapter 14, Luke 14. You can't see it from where you are. There's a tiny little spider right here in front of me that has its web. There it goes. And it's the size of just this tiny. Oh, there it goes back up again. It's going to look online like I'm looking at heaven or something. It's such a small little spider. That little spider was very faithful to come every week here to Beth Hillel. We have something very special here at Beth Hillel, and there's a reason for that. You ready? Here it is. This place is built different. I'm going to tell you that. If you're a member here, whew, this place is built different. Luke 14, 27. Whoever does not carry his own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, Yeshua says, wanting to build a tower, doesn't first sit down and figure out the cost to see if he has enough to finish it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and isn't able to finish everything, all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and wasn't able to finish. Friends, let me tell you something. There is a cost. There is a cost. If you really want to build in your life, if we really want to build in the kingdom of God, y'all, there's a cost. You have to count the cost. This is what Messiah is saying here. You better count the cost before you start building this thing. Otherwise, what good is it? It's going to be half built and you know, you can't afford, you're not going to pay the rest of it. No, you got to count the cost. If you really want to build in your life. I want to back up a little bit. And I want to go to the early days here. This stuff I just don't talk about this, what I'm about to share with you. But like I said, I've been reflecting a lot and I hope it blesses you in a different way. I want to share a little bit of my heart. It's a bit of reflection, honestly, about my parents of blessed memory. But as well as my parents, it also molded and included me along the journey. First, for those of you who perhaps are newer and don't know, as I mentioned, I've been on this bereavement leave for a few months because my father, the late Rabbi Robert Solomon of blessed memory, went to heaven. He and my late mother were the founders of this synagogue many years ago. Now, you have to understand that I've been with them all along in the journey since the very, very beginning. And at the time, I was just a little kid. Now, when I say I was just a little kid, you know, sometimes I'm joking around like, yeah, oh, it was just a couple years ago. I was a kid. Okay. But no, I mean, I actually mean I was just a little kid. I want you to check out perhaps the first picture from a Beth Hillel event ever. Put that up on the screen. This is perhaps the first event from a Beth Hillel event ever that I could find. And what's interesting is, yes, the little kid with the Hanukkah is me lighting the Hanukkah, okay? And you see the giant dreidel that's on the table in front of us there on the table. And there's that other thing, you kind of got a back view, but it's a little sculpture of a Western Wall with a Jewish man praying at the Western Wall. You can only see part of it. But that's kind of my history with this and with my family. This is what I've been thinking about a lot lately, and the history of it and how it applies to this. And I look even at this picture, and I could name you every person who's in that picture in the background. People who, all the people in that picture other than myself are now with the Lord. But these are all people who set the table for you if you're here today or watching online. You know, I look at the far right, and there's my father, Rabbi Robert of blessed memory. There he is, you know, going through, it's a Hanukkah celebration. Right beside him is a guy, I remember him. His name was Lenny Roberts. Lenny Roberts was at that time, he was an elderly Jewish man, and he had the Jewish kite like you wouldn't believe. I mean, he would come up to me, and I don't know why, he had a special connection with me, a special kind of attraction, and he was like, hey, yeah, Kevin, and he was this old Jewish guy. He said, hey, man. And I do my little thing. I don't know. I was a rambunctious little kid. And he said, hey, yeah, it's the next Al Jolson. There he is, Al Jolson. And I'm like, I have no idea who that is. I don't even know. Most of you probably don't know. But it was his way of giving a compliment, saying, this kid's got personality. He's got it. He's got it. I don't know. But he was a Jewish believer, early Messianic Jew. Right beside him is a guy named Hezekiah Jacobson. I don't have to tell you if he was Jewish. Hezekiah Jacobson, come on. There's other reasons. Okay, Hezekiah Jacobson was one of our earliest members and one of our earliest service leaders that we have here at Bethel, like Michael is today. Hezekiah Jacobson was raised Orthodox. And he helped us in the development of the service order that we have, the order of our service. Hezekiah Jacobson really helped us a lot in the early days. Right beside him is a guy named Robert Hughes. Robert and Lois Hughes. Robert was on our board of directors at Beth Hillel up until he passed maybe 20 years ago. You remember Robert Hughes. Robert and his wife, Lois. Lois was our very first bookkeeper at Beth Hillel. It was all, you know, hand done. It was not on a computer, on a, you know, whatever, the ledger, you know, a paper ledger. And she handled all the books for Beth Hillel in the early years. They had vision for Beth Hillel. He was on her board. Next to him is a guy named Paul Harden. A few of you may remember in the distant recesses of your mind is late, they all gone to be with the Lord, his wife, Betty Harden, who outlived him a good many years and was a member up until perhaps the late 90s or early 2000s. Paul and Betty Harden, ardent prayer warriors for Beth Hillel. But you can see there I am, just a little kid, kind of growing up in this. Thank you for that. You can pull up the screen. Thank you, Keziah. I grew up with my parents as they pioneered this congregation. And my parents really helped to pioneer the modern day Messianic Jewish movement. Now, my siblings are all a good bit older than me. I was the accident, bonus. I was the bonus. And so not long after that picture, it was really just me left in the house. It was just my mom and dad and me because my siblings had all moved out. And I recall the challenges, the battles, the difficulties. I learned very on to keep confidence, keep my mouth closed about confidential stuff. And my parents came to trust me. Consequently, I heard about many of the things that went on during the struggles to build Beth Hillel. And really to help birth a prophetic movement of God, a movement that was specifically prophesied about in the Bible itself. Guess what, y'all? It was hard. It was really hard. I recall when the big Atlanta paper did articles about us, and many in the traditional Jewish community said not nice things about us. One quote I remember, quote, "They're neither fish nor fowl." That was clever, at least. I recall a humorous voicemail that was left on the congregational answering machine that went something like this. "So why don't you go jump in the river?" I don't know. That would click. I also remember the persecution we received from anti-Semites. I remember as a teenager, the swastika painted on our gate. I remember my parents receiving threats. And then I recall people simply telling us that Beth Hillel would never work. It'll never work to give up. Give up already, Robert, Daddy, give up. It'll never work. I remember people trying to intercept the ministry and put it in a different direction. I remember as a kid spending hours and hours and hours at Beth Hillel on Buford Highway before we built this building, when I had to wait while my parents did counseling. They did counseling, I waited. I often fell asleep on the chairs. The baseball card shop next door was my babysitter. It really is the truth. We would arrive hours early or stay hours late, and a lot of times they'd just, you know, let me go. There was a baseball card shop next door, which I came to really love, but that was essentially my babysitter. I don't know what they must have thought there. I was just a little kid. I recall how often it was that my parents invested so much love, time, and energy into people who would end up sticking a knife in their back and betraying them. I saw it 50 times if I saw it once. And remember, I saw behind the scenes. So I know how sincere their love for people really was. I saw it behind the scenes. I knew. And I saw the hurt, too. But they were never dissuaded. They never gave up. Someone say amen. I remember for over 2 years how my dad worked full-time at AT&T and full-time at Beth Hillel. But during those 2 years, he didn't take a salary at his Beth Hillel job. Over 2 years working full-time at Beth Hillel, he didn't take a salary. And that savings that Beth Hillel had, because he didn't take a salary, is the money that was required to purchase the land that we are sitting on right now. I recall my parents putting our own home as collateral for the loan to build this building we're in right here. My parents put up their house to build this building. I remember not going on family vacations as a kid because we were so busy and couldn't afford to with everything. But friends, none of us complained. It was needed to make it happen. It was needed to make this happen. My parents were built different. I'll tell you that, they were built different. And my folks fully integrated me into the ministry growing up, I sang a song in the service before I was 10. I ran the gift table at age 8. We didn't have many volunteers in those days. It was small. I'll do it. Got to be a little salesman at that age. It's Mother of Pearl from Israel. I was a little helper for sure. I did the four questions when my dad shared the Passover at perhaps 100 houses of worship. And I lugged the small merchandise trunk that he would bring, bumper stickers and stuff that we sold out. I began playing with a worship band at age 10. And it helped me learn how to keep a beat. Eventually, I direct the sound ministry and became a cantor, then a service leader, was a worship singer, percussionist, youth leader here for 12 years. I don't say this to congratulate myself, rather to convey the depth of mine and my family's connection to this crucial work. I remember at my bar mitzvah, which we have recorded, by the way. Yes, they had recording devices when I was bar mitzvahed. I remember at my bar mitzvah, my dad in his charge, the rabbi's charge, talked about how life as a rabbi's son wasn't easy. Because what we were doing wasn't easy. It was immeasurably hard. It was very, very difficult. In fact, in the charge, if you listen to it, I have it, I can let you listen to it sometime. He said it multiple times. It's not easy, son. This work that we're doing, I once heard somebody describe it as plowing concrete. It's not easy. We were a pioneering congregation. Originally, when we first started Beth Hillel, the closest Messianic congregations to us was Fort Lauderdale and Washington, D.C. Those were the two closest to us. I remember I was only 13 years old when I went to my first Messianic conference. And those days, Beth Hillel, we were still on Beaufort Highway then, Beth Hillel rented a coach bus, and most of our congregation made the trek to St. Louis. That's where this conference was. Our band Nagila played. It was amazing. It was unifying. You could taste the pioneering spirit. You could taste the prophecy starting to be fulfilled. Wow. And because Beth Hillel was historic, guys. Our congregation, I told you this place is built different. Beth Hillel is historic. The building that you are sitting in right now is the first Messianic Jewish synagogue ever built as a Messianic Jewish synagogue by an independent Messianic congregation in history. This building, historic building, like the very earliest first fruits of prophecy being fulfilled, what you're sitting in at this very moment. Unbelievable. Our congregation eventually hosted the largest Messianic conference that had ever taken place here in Atlanta in 1987. We built the very first Messianic Jewish community center in the history of the Messianic Jewish movement. Rabbi Robert Solomon was a three-term chairman of the largest organization of congregations in the movement, the International Alliance of Messianic Congregations and Synagogues. One of only two people in history to be a three-term chairman of the congregational movement. Rabbi Robert founded congregations that continue this day in New Orleans, in Birmingham. Leaders sent out from Beth Hillel lead congregations in Greenville, Daytona Beach today. And my mother, of blessed memory, God bless her, was the first and only female president in the 110-year history of the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America, MJAA, for two terms. during the bereavement time, Rabbi Todd Lesser, who's spoken here at Bethel El, used to be a leader here, and he's a rabbi in a congregation in Greenville now. He said something to me that kind of blew my mind as I began to think about it. But Rabbi Todd Lesser told me, in his opinion, whether it's true, I don't know, but in his opinion, he believes that Rabbi Robert led more Jewish people to receive their Jewish Messiah one-on-one than anyone in history. Man, I don't know if that's true, but even to fathom that distantly is beyond me. Friends, why do I share this? Why do I share all of this with you? There are two reasons that I share all that with you. I think it's important to understand context and a little bit of what you're part of. Two reasons why I share this with you. First, I tell you that doing things for the kingdom of God is oftentimes hard. It's oftentimes hard. You have to count the cost. My folks counted the cost. But you too have to count the cost. What kind of person do you want to be like? Do you want to be someone who's kind of flaky? Someone who can't really be depended on? Someone who is unwilling to do things that are difficult? Someone who is unwilling to sacrifice for others and for God? Someone who only wants to serve when it's convenient or when it's something they really want to do? Someone who only requires a small offense to get their feelings really hurt? Beloved, I understand that what my parents did was extraordinary, and I'm not suggesting that everybody is called to do things at this level. But friends, I'm going to give you this observation. Listen to this. Most people are called to do more for the Lord than they are currently doing. Romans chapter 12, please. Romans 12. You know where I'm going with that one. Jack knows. Boy, Jack's always willing to play that bass. Friday, Saturday, he pulls doubles all the time. He doesn't care. You just need me to play. It's an honor and a privilege to play the bass. I love that attitude. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this, I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. You know that passage. A living sacrifice. It's a strange juxtaposition of words there as we think about it, because sacrifices are usually slain, right? That's the kind of the point of a sacrifice. But here we read that we're called to be a living sacrifice, living yet given up to sacrifice. Almost, what is it? It's a really high standard, y'all. I take nothing away from the fact that it's a very high standard, but it's what we are called to be. I want to see Beth Hillel be even more such a congregation. Friends, that doesn't mean that you have to start a pioneering ministry, but it may mean that you have to dig in your heels and say, I shall not be moved. I shall not be offended. I shall serve my God and my fellow man and woman, even when it's not always easy or convenient. Being a living sacrifice means to be different. Most people are not that. You all know this. It's to be different than those around us. Hello, friends. That's what we're called to be, is different. We're called to be different. Why? Because we're directing people to our God. People should notice that we're different. Jeremiah chapter 31, Yirmiyahu chapter 31. That's reason number one I share all that with you. What's the second reason? Here's the second reason I share all that with you. First reason, it's hard. You got to count the cost, but you got to be different. Here's the second reason why I share all of this to you, with you. Jeremiah 31, in this translation, it's verse 30 in the TLV. It says, "Behold, days are coming." So it's a prophecy. This is in the Jewish scriptures, y'all. Every synagogue in the world, if my Jewish brother or sister, if you're watching online, this is in the traditional Jewish scriptures in every synagogue. "Behold, the days are coming, a declaration of Adonai, when I will make a new covenant." Oh, a new covenant. Wow. I've heard of that. "With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, for they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. Declaration of Adonai. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, a declaration of the Lord. I will put my Torah within them." Yes, I will write it on their heart. "I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they each teach his neighbor or his brother saying, 'Know Adonai,' for they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest. A declaration of Adonai. For I will forgive their iniquity. Their sin I will remember no more. Thus says Adonai, who gives the sun as a light by day and the fixed order of the moon and the stars as a light by night, who stirs up the seas so its waves roar. Adonai Tzavaot is his name. Only if this fixed order departs from me, a declaration of God, then also might Israel's offspring cease from being a nation before me for all time. Thus says Adonai, only if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, then also I will cast off the offspring of Israel for all that they have done." It's a declaration of Adonai. Friends, the second reason I share all of this with you is because, guess what, friends? It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Why? Because what we are doing here at Beth Hillel is specifically spoken of in the scriptures. Specifically spoken of in the scriptures. Modern day Messianic Judaism is part of the first fruit of the fulfillment of this prophecy. A new covenant is given to our people. Wow. Ezekiel 37 describes it as the Ruach, the Spirit, the breath of God, which will be blown into our people. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God, blown into our people. Friends, you are a part of that right here at Beth Hillel. What you are a part of is something very special. It's something worth fighting for. It's something worth sacrificing for. This place, I said it, is built different. And that's why we have a crucial calling. Romans 10, as we prepare to close, Romans chapter 10. That's why we have a crucial calling, achim v'achayot, brothers and sisters. Crucial calling. Oh boy, Rabbi Shaul, who ministered primarily to our non-Jewish brothers and sisters, he had a cry of his heart. He had a cry of his heart we read about in Romans 10, verse 1. And this is our calling. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is for their salvation, is that they might be saved. And so, beloved, Jew and Gentile alike, we have a vital purpose in Messianic Judaism to share the truth of the salvation of Messiah to our Jewish people. It is a profound calling. It is a prophetic calling. Listen to that. I said a prophetic calling. It is a movement specifically prophesied about in the Bible. often, like time after time after time after time after time. This place is special. But friends, to accomplish things for God's kingdom carries a cost. There is a cost involved, and we have to be willing to count the cost. And by the way, that includes your personal life also, in the things that God has called you to individually. Perhaps he's called us to this corporately, but he's also has callings on your life individually. But to build carries a cost. And are you willing to count the cost, which oftentimes, beloved, requires sacrifice? You have to be personally willing to count the cost of that which God has called you to do, be it big or be it small. Because if we do, and if we press on, then friends, we can change the world. That's not hyperbolic to say. I think about the picture that you saw earlier with me just as a little kid. Nobody understood what we were doing. Nobody. And to the extent they did understand it, nobody was particularly excited. And now here we are just a few years later, and the world is different. And we'll be different than those around us as well. So in conclusion, friends, don't be afraid of putting yourself out there. God told Joshua, Yehoshua, to be bold and courageous and not to fear. Chazak. Be strong, because just like Beth Hillel is built different, you too in your own life, you too in your own life have to be built different. Not like the chaff that the wind blows away, but like David's mighty men, like my parents of blessed memory. And yes, even like Messiah Yeshua himself, who counted the cost, but was willing because it was worth it. Title of my message is Built Different. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask if there's anybody here who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah. If that's you and you've never given your life to God, but you'd like to, raise your hand and we'll have a simple prayer. If you've never turned your life over to the Lord, but you want to. Maybe you're watching online and you've never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah. Repeat this simple prayer. Simply say, "Dear God, please forgive me of my sins. I'm so sorry. I accept Yeshua into my heart. Believe he's risen again, sitting at your right hand. Lord, I want to follow you the rest of my days. Thank you, God." In Yeshua's name. If you said that prayer, it's the greatest decision you could ever make. This is the beginning of counting the cost, but wow, it's the beginning of an eternity. Oh, and of great joy as well. If you said that prayer for the first time and you're here in this building, please see me after the service. I want to celebrate with you. If you're watching online, you said that for the first time, send us an email. We want to rejoice. Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for Rabbi Robert Stoddy, Lord. I thank you that they counted the cost and it was heavy, but yet they never wavered. And they stayed faithful. And now look what you've done, not just here, but across our movement. It's a great testimony to what you can do through us tiny little mortals when we're willing to live as living sacrifices, when we're willing to count the cost, when we're willing to be built different. So, Lord, I thank you for this, God. And God, not that it has to be so grandiose in people's lives. It can be something very small. It can be purposing to be an encouragement to other people around you every opportunity you get. It could be purposing to be a prayer warrior and to sincerely get on our knees and pray and to lift up needs. It can be to be a listening voice to others who are in need. All these things culminate and accumulate to change the world. Lord, the point is not how big the vision is. The point is to follow that which you've called us to do. So, Lord, I thank you for this, Lord, and for this wonderful congregation that you have graciously and honorably placed me in. I thank you for everybody here and their faithfulness. God bless them over these last number of months. I pray wonderful blessings on our congregation as we become, Lord, a congregation that continues to be built different. I thank you for these things in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and Shalom.